Pass the salt.
It's time.
Hey, you, pass the salt.
You know why it's disintegrating? Because we're jellyfish.
Pass the salt, will you?
Pass the salt.
Pass the salt, amigo.
It's time.
I think they could give us a new name. I believe we are Evan Jellyfish.
Hey, will you pass the salt?
Pass the salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
Pass the salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed in this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a Coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
A good Wednesday morning here, folks. Thanks for joining us here at Pass the Salt. Coach Dave Live. Honored that you would spend some time with us here this morning. And I continue to hear from a lot of you out there. We're shaking the weeds and shaking the bushes and finding some new folk out there. And I love hearing from you. I love connecting with you. Because one of the things we want to try to do is we want to pull you in on the team. We don't want you just to be a casual observer. We want you to come down and get on the football field with us, see the field behind us. We're going to take that field here at some point. And we don't want you just to be somebody sitting right up in there watching, rooting and cheering. We're glad you're rooting and cheering for us, but we want to figure out how we can get you down there. That's really what we want to do. So if you're out there listening, I want you to know every Facebook message you send and every email message, I try to respond to it. I'm just a regular guy out here in the cornfields outside of Ohio trying to do the best I can. I got some guys that are helping me do what we do here. And come in and join us. Come on in. The water's fine. A lot of you, I know, I found this to be true, Rich, that a lot of I'm beginning to hear from more and more pastors. And I think we have a dilemma there. I think we have a problem. I think we have a problem with the pastors. And part of it is they're not as obstinate as I thought they were. Actually, I think they're more unsure. They're more unsure than anything. I think they realize that a lot of stuff that they're teaching, a lot of stuff they're doing, I think they also are beginning to peek out from behind the curtain and look out at what's going on in the world. And they too see something's wrong and they don't really know what to do about it, how they're equipped really to be able to do anything about it. And so I want to apologize to any of those guys that I've, what to do about it. I want to apologize to any of those guys who I called weenies, even though they've been acting like weenies. Some of them are just weenies because they're tween in a hard place. You got a church, you got 150 people in your church and your eyes get open to what's going on. How do you make the transition from the milk that you've been serving to the real meat of what's going on? I think that's a great hindrance. And I don't know how to help other than we're all going to stand before the Lord. And when I'm not going to be able to say to the Lord, Lord, I knew I was teaching them the wrong thing, Lord, but I was afraid they'd all leave. I don't think that's going to stand up much. I just don't. And so many of us have been taught, as I said, we're stuck in our denominational box. I'll give you an example. I've said a number of times I was raised Catholic. It's neither here nor there. But when I got saved, and at the place that I got saved, very, very, what do they call that? Dispensationalism. Very, very deep in dispensationalism. I didn't know what it meant. I was 35 years old. I came out of the Catholic Church. I'd never heard anything about the Book of Revelation or end time prophecy I'd never heard any of that stuff, any of it. And so I naturally began to suck up and swallow and believe everything that I was taught in that church because, you know, he was the pastor, he was the expert, and he was stuck in his theological box. And there are a lot of guys who are watching right now who are stuck there. In fact, some have dropped out of their churches, have walked away from their faith, have done whatever just because they can't square what they've been taught in that denominational box. And then they come to the realization that, golly, there's an alternative answer for it. And that what they were being taught may not have been wrong, but it wasn't all right. It wasn't the whole story. It wasn't, as Paul said, the full counsel of God. We aren't taught the full counsel of God. Now, let me say right up front, I don't know the full counsel. I don't know it all. I don't know it all. But I do know so much of what they've been teaching is just isn't true. Or is it just a part of it? I know it. I just know it in my knower. And so we really had kind of a dilemma. What do we do? Because, you know, man, you just turn on the I don't have it. Thank God I don't have it. Christian TV. But I can imagine what they're saying on Christian TV about Israel and what's going to go on now that we're touching Israel and that Obama made that. I'm neither here nor I'm not an expert on it. I mean, our entire foreign policy is based on Israel. Entire foreign policy. And if we do this, oh my goodness, if we do this to Israel, boy, we're going to get smacked. And oh my goodness, and my head just spins on that. Because I hate to tell you this. I don't hate to tell you this. God's promise to Israel is an everlasting covenant, and it's his promise. It's not mine. It's not America's promise to Israel. That's not our – America does not have an everlasting covenant with Israel. Now, the Bible tells us this, that God does. His covenant is everlasting with Israel. But we fall into a lot of different problems, even in the church. I'm going to get off of this in a minute. Just bear with me a second. Depending on what church you walk into, we don't even know what Israel is. Yes or no? Somebody give me a thumbs up. You're going to this denomination, they're talking about the Jews. You're going to this denomination, they're talking about the land of Israel. You're going to this church, they're telling you, no, the church has replaced Israel. We don't even know. See, we don't even understand and know these basic things, and we can't understand for the life of us. John Hagee, I watched John Hagee. I'm sure he's a far more learned man than me, but he loves Israel more than he loves America. I don't get it. Am I missing something? And I say, listen, I don't focus on Israel. Promise of Israel is God's promise. It's his everlasting covenant with Israel. His, not mine. And I know the scripture says that to bless those who bless Israel, but I also know it says that it's more blessed to give than it is to receive. There's a lot of things in the Bible that you get blessings from, and I don't know for the life of me why we put Israel at the top of those things that's going to bless us. I don't get it. Somebody help me here? Can somebody help me figure this thing out? Because it bothers me. It does bother me. It does. I'd like to go to Israel. I don't know if you know this. You can Google it. And then we'll shut up about it. Israel right now, Jerusalem, is controlled by the British. Did you know that? It's under British control. Jerusalem. And that Jerusalem, the city of Jerusalem, was subdivided, that part of it's Jewish and part of it's Muslim. What's that all about? So it's things like that that make me say, have they pulled a scam on us? Has somebody pulled a scam on us somewhere? And even more importantly, why is it we as Christians are so stinking gullible to believe everything somebody tells us? Okay. Anybody have a comment on that before I shift gears? Anybody enlighten me, open my eyes at all? Because I'm here admitting to you, I'm having a hard time figuring this thing out.
Hey, Coach.
Yep.
Can you move your camera down?
I can. Yep, I can. Okay. Okay, so I don't want to get bogged down on Israel. Bless those who curse Israel, bless those who curse. And how about the scripture says not all Israel is Israel. And those who say they are Jews and are not, but are of the synagogue of Satan. There's a lot of things in that, man, that we can chew up and down. See, here's what we have to realize. The Bible is true, Larry, in context. You can't take a scripture out of context and make it a biblical truth. It's a biblical truth in the context in which it's presented. And I think that, you know, the old saying that I like to use is biggest Bible verse wins. Whoever's got the biggest Bible verse, you get in an argument with them. In the end, the biggest Bible verse wins. Last one,
Coach,
hammers the most. Yes, Sarah.
What about the verses that the land, I don't have it exactly right, I'm going to paraphrase, but the land belongs to God.
And it all belongs to God anyway, doesn't it?
Yes, it does. But he chose to put those people on that land. And eventually, those people became the Israelis, the Jews, after Abraham and all of that. But they defiled the land by going after all of the idolatry worship that strange was around
gods.
Them.
Strange gods, that's right, yes.
Strange gods. And thus defiled his land, that pure land. So maybe it's just the fact that it's that piece of property above all the world is really special for him. Why? I don't have God's mind.
I would agree with you, Sarah. I agree it's special. I do. And I, again, the covenant is his everlasting covenant. Okay, I'm going to shift gears. Issue number two on my mind today, and I got to get it off my mind before I forget it. George Michael's in hell. If you go to hell, George Michael's in hell. Okay? And I'm sick and tired of going on Facebook and talking, hearing people talking about George Michael resting in peace. Folks, he ain't resting in peace. He ain't resting in peace. He ain't resting in peace. I said that to my wife last night. I said, honey, he isn't resting in peace. And as only Michelle can say, she says, well, in the aspect is that he's not in this earthly world in pain and torment, he's resting in peace. I thought, oh, man, I don't even know about that. I'm going to tell you something else. Carrie Fisher ain't resting in peace either. All you Star Wars lovers out there, she ain't resting in peace. And why is it that we honor Romans 1:28, by the way? Why is it we give standing ovations to the most vile, contemptuous, wicked people? Why do we honor them? Why do I couldn't care less. I couldn't care less about Carrie Fisher. Maybe something wrong with me. I know of a lot of far more righteous people than Carrie Fisher who died that I grieve about. I don't grieve about her. How could anybody ever say that's a tragedy for that wicked woman to be dead? Have you guys followed what she did in her lifetime? She was nothing more than a hoe. She was basically a drug addicted hoe. She fooled around with Harrison Ford while they were making, what was that movie? Star Wars. Her life has been a series of up and down extramarital affairs. In fact, they said that she prided herself on going after married men. And then we see today that, it's a tragedy. Oh, my goodness, Carrie Fisher died. No, it's a tragedy that, number one, she died without knowing the Lord. That's a tragedy. And number two, it's a tragedy that we have held her up as a role model in America. That's a tragedy. That shows us how lost we are. That we look. I'm going to tell you, when I back in those years ago, when I was at Otterbein College in Westerville, Ohio, from 1971 to 1975, Otterbein College was known for its theater department. Theater. This is 1971. And I'm going to tell you something. The joke was we called them all theater weirds. They were weirdos. They were all homo weirdos. All those. Anybody know what I'm talking about? There's something wrong. Hear me. There's something wrong with someone who wants to live their life and be adored for being somebody else. In fact, that's where the idea of a hypocrite comes from. We've seen the two masks, right? The happy mask and of the hypocrite. That comes from the theater. And what does it mean? Well, you put on a mask and you become somebody else. George Michael was a wicked, wicked human being. Carrie Fisher, there's not a nice, I don't know what you would say nice about Carrie Fisher. I could go on and on and on. David Bowie. Who else do we? Oh, this list of all these wonderful people we lost this year. Are you kidding me? See, it comes back to what we were talking about yesterday. We don't even know what the value anymore. We don't even recognize honor and chivalry. We don't even recognize that anymore. We don't even hold up for our children and our grandchildren righteous things anymore. Hey, be like that guy. When's the last time you grabbed your grandchild and you walked your grandchild to somebody and said, hey, this is Rich Smith. David, this is Rich Smith. I want you to be like Rich Smith. When's the last time you did that? When's the last time, Grandpa, that you pointed out to your children that stupid stuff they're watching on TV, those people, ain't nothing special about those people. Here's who you want to be like, and point out someone to them that they want to be like. We're all complicit in this stuff. And for the third day in a row, I click on Drudge, and it's Carrie Fisher. Her picture is still there. Because why? Why? Sports stars, role models. I ain't no role model. When that Charles Barkley had said that, I agree, you aren't, Charles. Ain't nobody's not a role model. Getting some stuff off my chest here this morning. I know it's the truth. Anybody? Anybody want to punch me? Anybody want to agree with me?
Hey, Dave, I will say one thing. Back to, you know, in all seriousness, back to the pastor issue.
Yeah.
You know, God love them for peeking out behind the curtain. But in all honesty, they're not going to lose their people. Their people's going to get rid of them. I mean, ask Brother Tim. I mean, that's the way it works. They want their itch and ears scratched.
Well, it says heaping up for themselves teachers having itchy ears. They go after the guys who scratch their ears. They do. And so that's why I pride myself, although I shouldn't pride myself. That's not the right word. I embrace my role as an agitator. I embrace it. It is who I am. Pride's not the right word. But I embrace it. And I love the body. Whatever that body is, I'm going to tell you this, it isn't what we think it is. The body is a whole lot slimmer than what we think it is. And I love the body. But I don't love this thing that's masquerading as a body. I don't love, in fact, the scripture, I'm going to tell you, scripture calls it a whore, doesn't it? Larry, help me out here, doesn't it? Calls this false whatever a whore. So I don't know which one's the whore. I mean, I'm not here to point fingers, say that's a whore and that's a whore. I'm just saying a lot of untruth. So here's what's got me riled up this morning. It's a good rile up, though. It's really, really good. I may have just violated. I'm not sure. I'm not sure. I went all day yesterday without sinning. I went all day without sinning. I posted it on Facebook. And you want to have some good fun, you read on Facebook where people cannot believe. They say you are full of pride if you say that you haven't sinned. I'm thinking, what is wrong with these people? Jesus said, be ye perfect, as I am perfect. Now, is that possible? Well, it must be. I haven't reached perfection yet. But that is our goal, isn't it? To be perfect. That is our goal. And see, we are stuck in a culture and a society where we focus on the power of the devil rather than the power of the Holy Spirit. I've gotten arguments yesterday with people. They said, "Oh, so you haven't had any evil thoughts?" Well, no, I don't think I have. But if I do, I'm going to take it captive, and I'm not going to let it be a sin. I said, I'm sitting here right now. If I keep talking about pizza, you're going to get hungry, right? If I start talking about pornography, you're eventually going to click. Or if you're in pornography, you're going to click for another helping of it. But you have the ability every time to click. It's your choice. It's my choice whether to eat pizza or not. It's not my, it's my choice. The idea that Jesus, oh, I'm going to share some scriptures with you. Is it okay if I do that with you? What do you think, Tim? Do you sin every day in thought, word, and deed, Tim? Do you have any power at all over sin? I'm not hearing him. Hang on, Tim. I'm not hearing you.
Well, while we're waiting on Tim, just let me say that the all authority that Jesus had has been given to his body. And if he had authority over sin, we have it. I'm too stupid to walk in that authority 100% of the time. I guarantee you that.
But it's not that you can't.
It's not that I can't. It's that I choose not to for some stupid reason.
Amen, Larry. 1 Corinthians, Jared. Let's go there. Because this is one of the guys, this is one of those oxes we've got to gore. Oh, my goodness. We got to gore this ox. The Holy Spirit. Oh, my goodness. Jesus said, all power in heaven and in earth is given unto me. All power. Now, the scriptures teach us this. I don't know what Bible you folks read, and I don't know what church you attend. I don't know what it is. I don't know. My Catholic training, they told me that I sinned every day in thought, word, and deed. What's that?
Oh, is my mic working now?
Yeah.
Oh, sorry, go ahead.
They told me I sinned every day in thought, word, and deed. And I said, listen, thoughts aren't sins. How can a thought be a sin? If I mention, I don't care what it is. If I mention football to you, you're going to have a response. You're going to think something about football. Well, where did that thought come from? It was planted. It got planted into your mind. And who planted it? And so this idea that I'm just sitting around all the time, I'm just nothing but evil, and all I do is have evil thoughts continuously, and I can't get away from it, and I ought to be a nun. I ought to be in a monastery. You can't even live a normal life and have thoughts. What does the Bible mean when it says take captive every thought? Take captive every thought. Where did the thought come from? And how about this one? The Bible tells us that Jesus was in all ways tempted. Every way that we're tempted, he was tempted. So if I've had a bad thought, Jesus had a bad thought as well. Am I wrong there, Larry? Somebody help me. Am I missing something?
No, absolutely. But in today's society, if you call yourself a Christian, and if you say, "Oh, I want to get into this. I think I want to become a nun," then you will be doubly venerated. I mean, you will be doubly adored because you're a transgender monk. Let me tell you.
you know, Coach, we don't know the scriptures. When I think about, you know, the Bible says, walk in the Spirit. We think of churches like tongues. Oh, Hyundai, Toyota, so to speak. Yeah. You know, when we walk in the Spirit, Galatians tells us what the Spirit is. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, which there is no law. And the walk in the flesh, adultery, fornication, hatred, and so on. The Scripture tells us what it is. If we didn't know the Scripture, we wouldn't know what it is. And so these men make up what the flesh is and make up stories about it. We got to stay away from the stories. Follow the Word.
So yesterday, Tim, last night, she doesn't even know this. She's up there listening. I love you, honey. Michelle said something to me that made me mad. She doesn't even know it. And I've been bragging all. See, there I go. That's what I said. I was bragging because I hadn't sinned all day. So she said something and it made me mad, Rich. And the Bible says, be angry and sin not, right? So it made me mad. Not real mad, but made me mad enough that I probably normally would have said something back. But you know what? I was on my best behavior yesterday. I wasn't going to sin. And isn't it amazing that the Holy Spirit stopped me, stopped my mouth, and I responded in an entirely different way. I got victory over that thought, see? I got victory over that emotional response. I didn't give in to it. Because if you are a born-again Christian and you have no control over your actions, you're pathetic. I'm sorry. You are so walking beneath what you should be walking in. Oh, I know, Paul said, who will deliver me from this body of death? I understand that. Oh, wretched man that I am. I understand all that. But I've been delivered from that body of death. I've been delivered. I'm going to show you. First of all, you go to 1 Corinthians. Did I say that, Jared? Let's go to 1 Corinthians. I'm sorry. I just got to do a little Bible lesson with you today, okay? But we got to know this stuff, man. We've got to know this stuff. We got to know. Tim, right now, drop my glasses. Tim could right now send me a porno image right now. He could send it to me. Coach Dave, look at this. You could put it right over here in the comment section. Hey, Coach Dave, look at this. And I could look down, and I would think, huh, I don't look very good. and I could click it or I could delete it. And if you're not that walk, that and you're walking, why do we think that Jesus died only to forgive us of sins? 1 John 3:8. Oh, I got 4 places I got to go. Maybe I ought to start there real quick, Jared. Let's go to 1 John 3:8. Sorry if it's a Bible study. I'm sick and tired of the lies and people believing the lies. I'm sick and tired of people not walking in victory. And I'm not talking about personal victory, joy. And I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about victory over death, hell, and the grave. Because that's what Jesus gave his victory over. 1 John 3:8. Did I say that? Jared, let me pop that up there. Guys, come on, just read the word. Stop listening to what that. Oh, be careful, coach. Let's go to verse 1. Jared, if we can, 1 John 3:8, 1 John 3:1. Behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. How about that? You're a son of God. Therefore, the world doesn't know us because it didn't know him. Make sense? Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. That's good news. And every man that hath this hope in him purifies himself. Wait a minute. What? Every man that has this hope in him. Hey, Rich, do you have that hope in you? You got that hope in you? Then if you got that hope in you, what are you going to do? You're going to purify yourself. No. Hey, doesn't say he makes you pure. He said you're going to purify yourself, even as he is pure. Watch, whosoever committeth sin transgresses also the law. For sin is a transgression of the law. I don't see thoughts in there yet, by the way. And you know that he was manifest to take away our sins, and in him is no sin. So therefore, verse 6, whosoever abideth in him, what's that word say, Rich? Sinneth not. Whosoever abideth in him sinneth not. Hey, Tim, do you think this is some made-up version of the Bible? This is the King James version of the Bible. He that abideth in him sinneth not. And whosoever sinneth hath not seen him, neither knows him. Little children, let no man deceive you. He that doeth righteousness is righteous, even as he is righteous. And 8, he that committeth sin, well, that's of the devil. For the devil, see, it doesn't say you're possessed of the devil. It says the sin is of the devil. For the devil sinneth from the beginning. And look at this. For this purpose, the Son of God was manifest. They even destroy the works of the devil. What's the works of the devil? Sin. Hang on. Verse 9. So whoever's born of God, Rich, Sarge, Chris, Tim, Sarah, whoever's born of God does not commit sin. For his seed remaineth in him. And he cannot sin because he is born of God. I don't want to go any farther than that. Somebody smarter than me, help me out. Am I missing something here? Was John lying here? Was John having a different gospel here?
It goes right back to John chapter 15 about abiding in the vine. And if you are in the vine, and you produce fruit, you're going to get pruned. And that pruning is going to come from God. And that pruning is called discipline when you goof up and you don't produce the fruit of the vine. It's way off to me.
Larry, I woke up in the middle of the night last night. I had some anxiety. I don't know what it was. You guys ever had that happen to you? Even though Michelle and I had prayed against before I went to sleep, I woke up and I had some anxiety. Do you ever have one of those moments where about 16 different things come at you at once? Since this could happen, this could happen, this could happen, this could happen, this could happen. And it came at me so hard that I got up. It was about, it wasn't real late, it was about 12:30. I went to bed at 9. It's about 12:30 and I got up. And you know what I realized? Every one of those things that were coming at me, every one of these things that I, that all of a sudden I had anxiety about, hey, Rich, every one of them was because I had failed to do something I should have done. And so I'm looking at these things that are coming at me thinking, oh, this might happen, and this might happen, this might happen. And none of them would have happened if I had have done what I should have done. You guys understand what I'm saying? So I got up yesterday morning and said, I'm not going to sin all day. And for the life of me, Larry, I don't think I did. I don't think I did. I tried to take captive every thought that exalted itself against the knowledge of God. Hey Tim, I'm going for day two. And people go on my Facebook page and they accuse me of being prideful. Prideful. I said, prideful? Are you kidding me? The Holy Spirit. I'm bragging on the Holy Spirit. He empowered me not to do this.
Hey, Coach, isn't this liberating? Isn't it to a point where you get to know your Lord so well that you keep in step with the Spirit? So the Bible says, keep in step with the Spirit, and there's such joy. I mean, when I go through this and I analyze by not using my mind, my members, every day I go, yes, victory. It's so exhilarating to know that the power of God lives in us. I don't think we understand that power that lives within us.
And in fact, Tim, we walk and we abuse grace. See, we believe God is grace and we abuse it rather than realizing he's all powerful and he gives us the power to resist sin. Are you guys with me today? Am I doing okay here? Am I doing okay? I just think this is so critical. It's so critical.
Hey Coach.
Yeah.
I got a question. Then, given what you just read there in 9, whoever is born of God doth not commit sin, how do you deal with, I got relatives who are great Christian Catholics who vote Democrat, who follow a godless platform and everything associated with it, and they think I'm the deplorable one. How do you deal with this?
I don't know. It's a mindset. It's a misteaching. Somewhere along the line, it's a misteaching. The Bible tells us very clearly, woe to those who call good evil and evil good, right? So we see that that's manifesting in front of us.
It's happening in all of our families. We've already talked about this.
And we're living in a culture and a society where if I say homosexuality is sin, I'm the bad one.
Correct.
Hey, not the homo.
Hey, Kevin, let me throw this at you. You know, we are told to love our enemies, and then we are informed in the Word of God by the words of Jesus that our enemies are those in our own household. And then we are told in one scripture to honor all men, love the brotherhood, fear God, and honor the king, little k, for that's the secular authority. That one little verse covers all four of those. Honor all men. Now, that doesn't mean you put on a pedestal those who are evil, those who are not of God. You don't put them on a pedestal, but you honor them in the aspect that you understand they are not of God. And you honor the fact that they're acting the way they're supposed to act until they come in.
Amen. Amen.
To being a child of God. You don't condemn them because they're acting like an evil idiot, because evil idiots are supposed to act like evil idiots.
That's right.
Yeah, and I'm of the opinion that, you know, it's like Rich, and we've talked about this. You know, I'm at that stage in my life. I don't care if you're my daughter, my son, my cousin. If you're acting and supporting evil, I'm going to confront you. I'm going to confront and I'm going to rebuke it. Now, you might get mad at me, but until you start walking away from your brainwashing, I'm going to be in your face. I will be your storm.
Amen.
Is that not loving?
That is loving. I just simply ask people this, Rich, or Sarge. If your kid's hooked on heroin, crack, whatever it is, you love him. Do you get him treatment or do you supply him with drugs? Well, I don't care who you talk to. They all say the same thing. Oh, no, I want to get him treatment. Okay, so the question isn't whether or not you want him to be whole. The question is, what is love? Because if you love him, you're going to go help him. And if somebody in your family is trapped in homosexuality, accepting men and that's not love. It's not love. So we're confused on what love is, see? Comes back to the same thing. Love your neighbor. Yeah, yes, I get all that. I get all that. Somebody's kid's hooked on drugs. I hope to God you don't buy him his drugs. If your daughter, your beautiful 18, 19-year-old daughter, is sleeping around with a boyfriend, I certainly hope you don't let him do it in your house. And I certainly hope that you love them enough to say, this is wrong. Now, do you reach the point where you say, you're not coming around here as long as you're going to do that? You're not going to come around here. That's a tough one there. That's a tough love. It takes a while for us to be able to get to. But if you really, really love them, you're going to say, listen, I love you so much, I can't be part of it. And in fact, I'm going to give account to God for letting you do it. That'll empty a church, that right there. That'll empty a church. And live in a culture and a society where we're worshiping George Michael and Carrie Fisher. 1 Corinthians, are we there? I don't know if this is a good show, but this is good stuff. Let's just go straight to 12, Jared. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 12. Because these are what I threw up on my Facebook argument yesterday, and then they go silent. And then they Paul said, who will deliver me from this body of death? Huh? And then they'd say, well, he who says he's not without sin, the truth is not in him. Hey, dummy, I never said I was without sin. I said I didn't sin yesterday. I didn't say I never sin. I didn't say I'm pure and holy and I'll never, ever be. I never didn't say that. I said I'm not going to sin today. And I'm going to do everything I can to not sin today, 2 days in a row. Oh, then they said this one, Rich. Oh, yeah? For him to know to do good and not to do it, to him it is sin. Oh, yeah, okay, so let me ask you something. They're killing Christians over in Syria. Am I sinning because I don't get in my plane and fly over there and go defend them? Is that a sin? Because for me to know that I could defend them and should be doing them and not to do it, that's sin. Do you have a brain or not? See, some things are practical. Some things you have the opportunity to do something about. And if the Lord lays something in front of you that you have the opportunity to do something good about and you don't do it, then that is sin. But for me to sit in my house and think about the 5,000 babies that are going to be aborted today, I think to do good would be to rescue all of them. But I can't. And so knowing to do good and not to do it means you have the ability to make a change or a statement and you choose not to do it. That becomes sin. Otherwise, I would have no life. I'd have no life because I look around. The schools need to be corrected. Kids shouldn't be getting vaccinated. The government's stealing money. Children's services is stealing kids. Everywhere I look, there's something out of me. Do something. Are you with me? Are you with me? And so we use that as another stinking excuse to be sinful. First Corinthians 10, verse, well, this is all good. 11. Now, all these things have happened unto them for examples, and they're written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the world are come. All this stuff's written for us as an example. Wherefore, let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. Paul is giving us a warning here. Now, you can take this warning as a negative warning if you want to. I take it as an empowering warning. That's the way that I receive it. What does he say? There hath no temptation taken you. but such as is common to man. And no man, you're not the first guy to have that temptation. Right? But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape that you may be able to bear it. Now, can somebody explain to me what the heck that means?
It's pretty simple. It means what it says.
It means if a porno picture pops up on my screen, I can either click on it or I can click off of it. And I can't blame the Lord because I was tempted. Temptation comes. That's what the spiritual war is all about. That's what the battleground of the mind is all about. That's why we take captive every thought that exalts itself against what we know about God. This is not complicated. And if more of us focused more on living a godly life and rejecting the things of sin, if we lived more on the power within us that helps us resist sin, we wouldn't have to spend as much time repenting.
Yeah, and besides that, didn't Jesus teach us to pray at least once a day, daily? Give us this day our daily bread is in here. But lead us not into what? Temptation. If you believe God answers prayer, and you prayed that with understanding, then when you end up in a situation where you're tempted, you can bet your bottom dollar, your last penny, that you led yourself there. God didn't.
Amen, brother. Amen. Amen. So we have victory over this. Do you get it? Do you get it? All power has been given unto us, both in heaven and in earth. We have the ability, the fruits of the Spirit. Where is that, Tim? Is that Galatians? Is the fruit of the Spirit's in Galatians 6, 5? Galatians 6. Put it up there, Jared. Galatians 6. It's a very clear picture for us. Hey, folks. Thoughts aren't sin. Thoughts aren't sin. Giving life to the thought is sin. Thinking about a naked woman is not sin. Clicking on the computer to see one is. Temptation is always going to come. I'll tell you this. When you get victory over that lustful spirit, it ain't coming as often. Because it knows it's knocking on the wrong door. Oh, my goodness. Where am I? Verse 8, verse 7, Galatians. Be not deceived. Hey, Rich, that means you can be deceived, doesn't it? Be not deceived. God's not mocked. For whatsoever man soweth, that also shall he reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. And let us not be weary in doing well, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. And as we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, but especially our brothers, Larry, those of the household of faith. So there is a difference in the way you treat people, isn't it? Huh? Wow. You see how a letter I've written unto you, so I'm trying to get where the fruits of the Spirits are. Go to verse 16. Keep going, Jared, on down. That's not it. Galatians 5, maybe. Is that 6?
Yeah, 5.
Galatians 5. I'm sorry. Galatians 5, Jared. Let's go back.
17.
Amen. 17. Man, I'm running out of time. Okay. This I say then. Walk in the Spirit. You won't fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit. And the Spirit against the flesh. See, the Spirit fights the flesh for you. Fights it for you. And these are contrary the one to the other, so that you cannot do the things that you would. But if you be led of the Spirit, you're not under the law. What law? The law of sin and death. So the works of the flesh are this. It's adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like. Some I don't even list. And that which I tell you before, as I told you in the past, that they who do such things aren't going to enter the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And they that are Christ's have crucified the flesh with the afflictions and with the affections and the lusts. And if we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Golly, why can't we get this? Romans 6, real quick, Jared. I got to nail one more in there. Because this shut them up yesterday too, Rich. It shut them up. Do you know right now, I could click on porn right over here on my screen. Right now. Why don't I? Got that little voice talking to me on my shoulder. No. Now this little voice over here ain't going to stop me. But it's going to empower me to click it off. Romans 6, as I gave him this yesterday, Tim, I'm going to give you a hat tip because it came from you. Somebody help me out here. See, we're talking about whether or not to, you can go all day without sinning. You're prideful, Brother Dave. Am I? What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin? Wait a minute. That sounds like a choice, continuing in sin. Doesn't it? So you have a choice to continue in sin or not continue in sin. That grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer there? You're dead to sin, Sarge. You're dead to sin. Know ye not that so many of us were baptized into Jesus Christ, were baptized into his death? Oh my goodness. That we are buried with him by baptism into death? That like as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in the newness of life? For if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection. Knowing this, Tim, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. For he that is dead is freed from sin. God, this is so simple. But we want to wallow in that sin, don't we? We want to wallow in that sin, always begging for forgiveness, never having victory on it. Hang on. Now, if we be dead with Christ, then we also live with him. Verse 9, knowing that Christ being raised from the dead, he don't die anymore. He had to go to Mass and kill him again because death has no dominion over him. For that he died unto sin once. But in that he liveth unto God. Likewise, boys and girls, reckon yourselves also to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Christ Jesus our Lord. And let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that you should obey it in the lust thereof. Neither should you yield your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin. Don't give your computer over to it. Don't give your fingers over to it. But you yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for you are not under the law, but you are under grace. What then? Shall we sin because we are not under the law, but indeed grace? God forbid! No, don't you know that to whom you yield yourself, servants to obey, servants, that's who you become, whether it's sin or death or obedience unto righteousness. But God be thanked that you were the servants of sin, but you have obeyed from the heart the form of the doctrine which was delivered you, being then made free from sin.
Hey, Dave.
Yeah.
I've said this over and over to people. In spending years working with felons, I come to realize that every single one of them, no matter what their crime was, had the exact same root issue. They did not have the ability to tell themselves no when they needed to. And it was the same root cause with sin. if you do not have self-control,
amen,
equals the ability to tell yourself no.
Through the Spirit.
Anyone that says, oh, you can't sin, they do not have the ability in certain areas to tell themselves no.
They don't. And Rich, it becomes a spiritual discipline.
And I sometimes don't have the ability to tell myself no.
That's right. See, that's what I'm saying. It's
I struggle to tell myself no. That's why I'm not a convicted felon. I could be.
Hey, I just didn't get caught. You know what I'm saying? I'm not in any way, shape, or form saying I'm holier than thou or anybody else. I'm saying this same power is available to you. That's what I'm saying. We don't have to walk in sin. We don't have to be burdened by sin. 21, hang on. What fruit had ye then in those things whereof you are now ashamed? For the end of those things is death. But now being made free from sin and becoming servants to God, you have your fruit unto holiness and the end everlasting life. For the wages of sin is death, which has already been paid for, but the gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus our Lord. Go ahead, Tim.
Oh man, you are exciting. This is good stuff.
It is, man. And I'm not, Tim, I'm not even a theologian. I just can read.
I love verse 11 too, because there's that word reckon. I got myself a note. I put this next to my note. It says, therefore, according to verse 11, the word reckon, likewise, because of past insight, reckon, estimate, or take an inventory, conclude, count is that word, simply believe by faith, because we are not commanded to become dead. These are presupposed. They are facts. Because we are in union with Christ. We are to abide in this state or condition resulting from the once and for all event of having died to sin by union with Christ in his death.
Amen.
We add up all the facts that happened to us in Christ. Wow.
So listen, if we've been delivered from sin, then sin becomes a choice. See, I'm not a slave to sin anymore. I'm not a slave to it anymore. Oh, I still sin. But I'm going to tell you, if you would make it a point today not to sin, you're going to get victory over it. You're going to get victory over it. Right now, today, you will get victory over sin. If every time you have the opportunity to sin, you say no to it, you'll get victory over it. That's what the Holy Spirit gives us. Okay, I got to finish. I've been waiting to play this. I only got about 5 minutes. I got 8 minutes. This will be good. This is a video I made back, oh, I don't know how long. It's called Born This Way. Born This Way. Huh? Born This Way. So, well, the video will, it'll be self-explanatory. It's about 5 minutes here. Hey, guys, I remember I had a guy tell me one time, I asked him if he's a Christian. He said, why, I was born a Methodist. Oh, I see the problem, pal. You got to get born again. That's our problem. You got to get born again. So you were born a homo? Oh, well, you need to get born again. Go ahead, Jared, play that thing.
Hi, friends. This is Coach Dave Dobbin-Martin, News with Hughes.tv and NewsWithHughes.com. And man, you should have seen the inbox in my email the other day. I get the most vile, unbelievable emails from people who disagree with what I say. Now, thank God we still live in America and we still live in a country where there is freedom of speech. But I have to be honest with you, that right to freedom of speech is becoming harder and harder to exercise. In fact, you have to have a pretty stiff spine.
Amen.
To say what you really believe in today's culture and today's society, because the politically correct Nazis will come down on top of you and try to silence anything that you say that they don't agree with. So here's what's happened to us, folks. See, they like to trap us in our own biblical morality. The big government libs, the God haters, I call them, they like to pound us over the head with the fact that we have an obligation to take care of the poor. And I say, well, I agree that we should take care of the poor, but could you please tell me where it says that the government's job is to take care of the poor? Can you show me where that one is? I agree that it's the individual Christian's responsibility to take care of the needy. I agree it's the responsibility of our churches to take care of the needy, but But isn't there such a thing as separation between the church and state? And where is it that the government has the right to determine that we are supposed to take care of the poor? You can't have it both ways. You can't have this separation of church and state when you want it to be a value that forced upon us and when you don't have a value. I say, you know what? I think unborn babies ought to be able to live. And they say, oh, no. A woman has a right to choose. I said, well, where does that come from? They said, well, nobody has the right to impose their beliefs on somebody else. See, when the biblical morality causes them concern, they throw it out the window. They scream, separation of church and state, separation of church and state. So I've come up with a saying that's become quite effective for me. Whenever I get one of those nasty emails or when I hear somebody say something that they're trying to shut me up or calling me hateful or intolerant or whatever, I just say, just smile at them and say, hey, man, listen, I'm sorry. I was born this way. I was born thinking that a man was supposed to marry a woman, that a man was supposed to stay married to that woman, and they were supposed to have a family. And that a man had no business going out and fooling around with other women and destroying his family. Now, you may not agree with it, but I'm sorry. Why are you trying to change me? I was born this way. And I was born with this crazy idea that an unborn baby ought to be able to live. And why do you want to change me? I was born this way. Yeah. And I was born with the idea that government was supposed to be government of the people, by the people, and for the people. And I'm anti-bullying, and I don't think the government ought to be bullying the people. And no matter what you say, no matter how many names you call me, all you're trying to do is bully me, and I can't help it. I was born this way. Oh, they hate it. They hate it because, see, they want to say that their behavior, their abnormal behavior, is a result of birth. But they don't want to say that my abnormal behavior that they would say is a result of birth. And I just throw it right back in and say, hey, man, I'm sorry. I was born this way. But I have to confess to you that that's a lie. I really wasn't born this way. I was born again this way. Back in 1987 when I accepted Christ as my Savior, He did for me what a phone booth did for Clark Kent. It changed me into a brand new creature. It changed everything about me. The way I think, the way I see, the way I respond. Yeah. I'm sorry, but I was born again this way. So that's what I say when I go out on the streets and we go to a gay pride event, and we try to lift up the gospel of Jesus Christ, and I hear that mantra say, they say, listen, I can't help it, man. I was just born this way. I say, hey, pal, I got a great idea for you. Get born again. All you need to do is get born again. Yeah. I'm sorry. But I was born this way. It's Coach Dave Dobbenmeyer at newswithviews.tv at News with
Makes me laugh. Pretty good, isn't it? That's 2013 I made that, see. See, that's part of the message we're missing in the church, Tim. We don't teach them that God is a transforming God, that being born again is a transformation. It's not a decision. It's not walking the aisle. It's a transformational experience. You become something brand new. And unfortunately, we try to sell people on going to heaven. Come to Jesus so you can go to heaven. No. Come to Jesus. Oh, everything becomes new in your life. You don't have to drink. Oh, you can if you want, but you don't have to. You don't have to carouse and chase women. You don't have to name it. You don't have to take drugs. You don't have to cheat people. It's freeing. It's liberating. Jesus made us free from that law, sin, and death. I'm sorry to have concentrated on this so much this morning, but I think it is so critical that we've got to get rid of this stinking thinking that's keeping all of us trapped in bondage. Anybody got a go away for us here? A parting thought?
Doesn't doesn't Scripture say that when you're born again, it's not your right to go to heaven? Heaven comes to you.
Amen, brother. The kingdom gets
inside you, and you become backwards, man.
I'm telling you, we're teaching so much stuff. I had a list of 20 things. I'm going to save it till tomorrow. Don't miss 27 things that you probably teach. I'm sorry, 27 things you probably believe the Bible says, and it doesn't. We'll see you tomorrow. It's Coach Dave.